Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual, and we have a great show on this Halloween Eve. Yes, we're going to have some fun today, but make sure it is a safe Halloween for you. We actually have four guests, because we have our usual Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not. He's actually got some really interesting subjects again this week, and I love that segment. It's in the second hour. There are 2 hours of the show. Many of you don't get both hours. Some of you get the first hour, some get the second hour. And some listen to this always on podcast at Radio MD or live at RadioMD.com. We tape it 3 to 5 p.m., and so, at least usually. And so this is the eve of Halloween, so our show is going to focus with three guests in addition to Gary Ginsberg. Gary Ginsberg's top story this week is one I'm looking forward to, is air pollution is causing Mexican kids and probably those in Beijing to be on the way to Alzheimer's disease much earlier. It does also say that inflammation is the major cause of, if you will, dementia or decline in mental function as we get older. And so we're going to have to pay more attention to that. I live in Cleveland, as does my family, if you will. My wife and I live in Cleveland. We don't have great air quality here, and that may be a risk factor for us getting less brain function as we get older. And so that's what we're going to talk about with Gary Ginsberg and what to do about it as well. You know, we don't leave you with just data out there. We tell you, and that's why we're a passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest quality ever. We're going to put Gary on the spot to make sure he tells us how to do better with that and how to avoid the problem, in addition to taking longer vacations away from Cleveland into healthy air environment. Healthiest place to get air in the United States? You guessed it, it's Hawaii. Out there in the islands, it is the healthiest air quality. You say, well, what about the air coming over from China, from industrial areas in Indonesia, etc.? Well, it turns out Hawaii still wins as the best air quality in the United States, but we'll look at some other data from Gary as well. The other guest, Dr. Sandra Hong, on Halloween candy and food allergies, how to make it fun for your kids, even if they have a food allergy tonight on Halloween. At the bottom of the hour, our usual guest, that is, we normally have a guest period in this period, it's Dr. Madeline Fernstrom and her husband, authors of Don't Eat This If You're Taking That. That is, what to avoid in food based on the medications and supplements you take. Yeah, there are some specific choices of what to do and what not to do. Then we have Gary Ginsberg at 6:17, or 4:17 rather, in the second hour. 4:17 East Coast time in the second hour. And following that, another guest from Washington's Poison Center, the managing director on the American Association of Poison Control, Halloween prevention tips, how do you avoid getting poisoned? I know when I was a anesthesia attending and was on trauma duty in San Francisco, the worst day of the year was Halloween, because kids, they don't cross the street with safety and don't do everything perfectly safe. Ben, did you say something to me? Great. And don't do things perfectly safe. And that was our engineer to say that Dr. Hong is here to talk about the importance of how do you make sure your kids will have a great Halloween. Sandra Hong is in the Department of Allergy and Clinical Immunology at the Cleveland Clinic, so she's local with me, if you will. I should tell you, our engineer Ben is in someplace around Wheaton, Illinois, just a suburb of Chicago. And the uplink is in New York City, so we have people all over the place. But Sandra Hong is with us. Sandra, thanks very much for talking to us about what to do if your child has food allergies on Halloween.
Thanks, Dr. Mike. Thanks for having me on. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Halloween. You have young children, I would guess.
I do. I have four of them. The youngest are two-year-old twin girls. So it's going to be a very busy, candy-filled night for us.
And so what do you do? Do you try and avoid chocolate for the kids or candy for the kids or sugar for the kids?
You know, luckily my children aren't really big candy lovers. So that's been really easy for me. Luckily, one or two pieces and they're done. And I'm able to hide it away and basically give it away to, you know, the local dentist that'll trade in candy for little toys. So that works out beautifully for us.
It hasn't changed over the years. When I think when I was going with my parents on trick-or-treating, it was actually we tried to get peanuts as gifts. But obviously peanuts have a high allergy component, but they tried to keep me away from chocolate and sweet and sugared gifts and then hid them so I never could find them again.
And that's after why that, you're so healthy. That
after
was
that
wonderful
first
for
night.
Them. Absolutely.
But tell me about what do you do if your child has a peanut allergy? Do people still give out peanuts on Halloween?
Oh, yeah. So Halloween and the holidays are particularly frightening times for parents with children with food allergies because the six most common foods that make up 90% of all food allergies, like milk, peanuts, nuts, wheat, soy, eggs, those are in the majority of a lot of the candies that are given out and all a lot of the baked goods on the holidays, such as this. And 1 in 13 children currently have food allergies. So that's one, that's about 2 kids in every classroom that has food allergies. So parents that have children with food allergies have to be very, very diligent. If they choose to go out, it's really important for them to make sure that they bring their epinephrine along with them. It's also extremely important for them to make sure that their kids don't nosh and eat and snack on any of the foods. I usually ask my parents to bring, you know, really good treats for them for the walks so that if they do get hungry, they're not going into the bags. And for most parents, that's a really good idea not to snack on anything until everything's examined really well when they get home. For the children, you know, I give my parents a couple different options on how to do it. You know, one is actually to go out beforehand and give the neighbors different, you know, safe treats that they'll specifically give to their child with food allergies so that they'll come home with a bag that's completely safe. The other options are that they can actually trade in at the end of the night their bag of goodies that are chock full of all those allergens that can be very, very life-threatening for them. Trade that in for a bag of safe treats or have the great pumpkin come to their home that evening and trade it out and leave them a really nice surprise, like a gift that's been wrapped specially for them. Those are nice ideas for children with food allergies.
So actually, I like that great pumpkin idea. I've never heard of that. Tell me, so the first choice is to tell me how you eliminate getting these in the first place, which is really the first choice.
So one option is to actually not go trick-or-treating, you know, to actually have a party with friends and have it a safe night. Pardon?
Go ahead. Keep going.
To have a completely safe night where you have a party with safe treats and there's no allergens whatsoever. And then the other would be to go trick-or-treating and, you know, make sure that you can go out beforehand and have neighbors. It's interesting. Last year, the Food Allergy Research and Education Organization actually came up with an idea called the Teal Pumpkin Project. And over 100,000 households actually participated in it last year. And it's where you either paint a pumpkin teal or you download a printable sign from the website. And it tells children that have food allergies or celiac or diabetes, these diseases that are kind of food driven.
Dr. Hong, we'll have to come right back and continue that right after this break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken, Frank's canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're talking on this Halloween Eve with Dr. Susan Hong, Sandra Hong, H-O-N-G. She's in the Department of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. It's a lot to say in allergy and clinical immunology at the Cleveland Clinic in Strongsville, so she's part of our own Cleveland Clinic family. I should also say that there's a website that we got asked about, that is asked, where is there a website where we can find out more about this? It's called Safe Fare, S-A-F-E-F-A-R-E, so Safe Fare, as fair of the type of food you might eat. It's Food Allergy Research and Education, but it's SAFEFARE.org takes you to the website, which really has a lot of material on it to find out about finding a restaurant, what to eat at home, etc. But it is dining out with food allergies, and you can go back to the parent site of the whole thing, and it's foodallergy.org to find out more about the whole program, foodallergy.org. So we're talking with Susan Hong. Before we broke, we were talking about the three techniques for if your child has a food allergy, what to do. One of them was to have a party at your home or at someone's home who's a friend, etc., who just has healthy things or non-allergic things. The second one, Dr. Hong, what was that?
It would be if you were out, making sure that it was a safe night. So you can do those couple different things. You could have, you can go out beforehand, and give your neighbors safe treats for your children so that when you actually went trick-or-treating later, you would have these safe foods for your child. Or you could actually have a safe, bag of treats so that when they got home from trick-or-treating, you could trade that out for them. Or the third thing I like is having a great pumpkin that visits that evening and leaves them a non-food present that's all wrapped and beautiful for them so that it's something else that they can look forward to when it's not food-related.
I love that. Does the person who is having this, I know you went to one of these food, the great pumpkin, or you heard about one of these great pumpkin parties yesterday. Does the person actually get dressed up as a pumpkin and come?
I think it's all individualized. So if you felt that you could get yourself into a pumpkin costume in time, I think it would be delightful, and I think your children would absolutely love it.
It would be fun to do, too.
It would.
You also had some specific things that the site, the Food Allergy Research and Education, it's called foodallergy.com, apparently, is the website of, I'm sorry, Food Allergy, why do I keep doing it wrong? Foodallergy.org website has it, and the home of that is foodallergy.org. I did get it right, finally. And they have a specific pumpkin project on their website. But anyway, and walks and other things you can do. But anyway, tell me what some of the other things they recommend. About baked goods.
Oh, so with baked goods, you know, a lot of the holiday treats at schools are very food-driven. And so it's very important to ask that they don't bring in baked goods. When you actually yourself don't have a child or you don't have food allergies yourself, it's very difficult to understand how very minute amounts. So if you actually baked some cookies with peanuts in them and then you made another batch, you cleaned up and made another batch, but you had, you know, a spatula that still had a little of it on it, that could be life-threatening for a child. So even despite your best intentions, you very well may bring in something that is, you know, tainted with something that could be very life-threatening for a child. So I do ask that families try to avoid baked goods. If they do want to bring in something baked, they could consider having it from a bakery as long as all the ingredients are on board and you know it. I ask families to make sure that their children actually have really awesome snacks for them at school so that, you know, if someone has a, you know, a treat, a party, that they have their own snacks that they can go to so that they don't feel left out while all the other kids have their things going on. Trying to be very inclusive and making sure that your children feel like they belong and that they're safe are the most important things.
Sandra, I just got an email from someone who said you should have Sandra Hong on HONG. She's a physician in allergy and clinical immunology at the Cleveland Clinic. It says you should have Dr. Hong on more. She has a great tone of voice. So you should take that as a tremendous compliment, because we don't get many of those type of comments from our listeners. Of course, you can always call us, 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800, for direct calls and be on the air and participate in the conversation. Or you can email me at youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We're talking with Sandra Hong about how to stay safe and have a great Halloween. And one of the things I loved was that the great pumpkin visit. There's some other things. You also mentioned about, and I like the one, giving your neighbors gifts to give your kids and go early. That's pretty neat. The other one I noticed you mentioned, and is mentioned on the food allergy website, is to get non-edible gifts such as bouncy balls.
That's right. So that kind of ties into the food allergy research and education, what they'd launched last year. They had launched a teal pumpkin project. And in 1 year, last year, they had had over 100,000 households that participated. And the idea behind it would be you either painted a pumpkin teal and put it on your porch, or you had a printable sign from the website. And it would tell children that had diseases that were very food relenting, where they could not eat something like diabetes or celiac or food allergies. It would let them know that it would be safe to trick-or-treat, and there'd be non-food alternatives like glow bracelets or small toys, crayons or stickers. And this year I bought 300 glow bracelets for my teal painted home. So we'll be doing the teal pumpkin at my home this year.
And how did the color teal, T-E-A-L, how did the teal or that I guess it's almost a bright blue-purple combination.
Blue or green. Bluish green. Yeah. Kind of a
blue green. But how did that get started?
It actually started. It got started at one of the local organizations of the food allergy research organizations, I think in Oklahoma last year, and it just blossomed where it, you know, in 1 year took off. This will be the second year that people have hopefully participated. But it doesn't limit you to only having. So some people feel very, you know, they feel that candy is very important to give out. You can have your candy separate, but you can also have your toys that are non-edible, which will be very nice for children with food allergies.
So I want to thank Susan Hong. We're running out of time. Sandra Hong. Why do I keep saying Susan? Sandra Hong, H-O-N-G, who's in the Department of Allergy and Clinical Immunology at the Strongsville Family Health Center, member of the Cleveland Clinic family, for taking her time on away from her kids, in fact, her young kids, on Halloween Eve to tell us what's important about avoiding food allergies and how to do it in a safe and fun way for all the kids. Thanks, Dr. Hong. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. We'll be right back with another outstanding guest. Stay tuned.
Being your best means nothing slows you down, whether it's a hard day of chores around the house, that weekend marathon, or smashing through a workout. One thing remains the same. Recovery must occur before you can be your best. Michael's Recovery Zyme supports the body's natural inflammatory response, resulting in greater muscle recovery. Recovery Zymes is the missing link you need to be your best. Recovery Zyme's formulation of systemic enzymes and herbs, coupled with an advanced enteric coating, allows Recovery Zymes times to work where needed, the muscles and tissues. Our team at Michaels also uses these formulations, so we price our products to be cost-effective because we believe that excellent health should be affordable. Recovery Zymes is the highest potency and most affordable muscle recovery formulation in the market. Elite athletes and weekend warriors all agree. Systemic enzymes are the missing link. Michaels Recovery Zymes provides them so you can move forward and achieve your goals. You provide the passion, we'll provide the support.
Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure, and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
Radio MD.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
What does the word organic really mean?
So organic really means there's a lot of human labor put into the food that you're consuming. So it could mean there's no pesticides that are applied to seeds and to plants. There's no antibiotics or growth hormones, that are being used in animal products. And it also, in most cases, means that there's no GMO seed that's being used.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
What's GMO? What does non-GMO mean?
Okay, so GMO, this is a good one. So GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. So the question is whether or not a seed or a plant has some genetically modified gene in it.
It's health delivered daily. Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
This is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're passionate about helping you take control of your health so you can live at the top of your curve. And our guest this half hour as Madeline Fernstrom. You may know her because she's on the Today Show all the time, and she has written a, what I think, in with her husband, and you'll have to tell me that, Dr. Fernstrom, is it with your husband?
Yes, it is with my husband. My husband and colleague.
And how many times have you, let me first introduce the book. It says, don't eat this if you're taking that. What that is implying is that there are certain foods you should avoid if you're taking certain medicines. And I would go the other way. Have you ever thought about going the other way, Madeline, saying, don't get these prescriptions if you like these foods. I've often thought we should adjust to patients rather than patients having to adjust to what we do.
But you're exactly right. Actually, I love that thinking. And it's funny because this book presents things both ways. If you know your medicine, you can look for your food. If there are certain foods you really love and don't want to change, look for your medicine, because then you can talk to your doctor and perhaps have a change. So you are right on with that.
Well, I looked in, and this book is really spectacular in having these nice lists, which say, for example, the foods that contain vitamin K,
right,
which is a contraindication or is a limitation of you having those foods if you're taking Coumadin. Or conversely, maybe if you love these foods and think they're important for your life, as many people do, that you avoid getting Coumadin and go to one of the other drugs that is now available.
Right.
I didn't realize, for example, that canola oil was a significant source of vitamin K, and I've never told that to any of my patients. So it's a great education for me in reading this book as well. And the book also, it doesn't just do what you would call medications that you get as a prescription. It also goes in supplements that you should think about the interaction with food. So how did you get the idea for this book, Dr. Fernstrom? It really is wonderful.
You know, I've treated so many patients for weight-related issues over the years, and my husband is actually a very famous pharmacologist. And because we are trained in nutrition and pharmacology and neuroscience, we would always get these questions. I would get these questions from my patients all the time because, as you know, people with weight issues often are taking prescription medications. And people would say, I heard about this, or I'm not supposed to take this, or the pharmacist said that. And actually, a lot of our colleagues said, we have these issues all the time. Whether you have diabetes or high blood pressure or have chronic pain, there are these food and medicine interactions. And people encourage us for the longest time, and we've said, you know what, this is probably a good time to do it. But to do it as regular consumers would do it, like I would, you know, of my dad or my relatives or, you know, anyone that I know would be taking a medicine, of saying, what's an easy way to do this? And we put this book together so you can personalize this, find your medicine, and look for the foods, an easy list, and really a way to get help. Because just like, you know, in your introduction, which I love, it's all about you. You have to take control of your health. And when you take medication, you can't be an ostrich and say, all right, it's just enough for me to take the medicine every day, which I agree is hard enough to be compliant. But then to say, is the food going to boost or interfere with the activity of the medication, and not have it act as your doctor intended? And that's the issue, because so many of these things, you brought up blood thinners, you know, dark green vegetables, you know, kale is the, you know, the king of vegetables. And you're thinking, what could be wrong with that? And when you take certain blood thinners, like Coumadin, as you said, vitamin K is going to block that effect. And you might want to then open that dialogue with your doctor to say, I'm having a hard time limiting dark greens. I really like these and some of the other sources like canola oil, all healthy things. I don't want to have just a cup of salad a day. Are there some options? And of course, you know, there might be an alternative. And you know, as a physician as well, sometimes there's an option and maybe not. So, you know, the appropriate medication for your medical illness first, and then make some dietary adjustments. But the most important thing, especially with a food like grapefruit, which a lot of people don't want to give up, you can't say limit or avoid it. They'd rather not take the medication. And especially for many, but not all of the statins, a lot of them are sensitive. You can't combine with grapefruit because it boosts the impact in your body. But something like Crestor, some of the newer ones, which aren't always on the insurance formularies, but might be worth it to an individual who's saying, you know what, I want my grapefruit and I want my statin and I'd like to be able to combine them. So the good news is there are a lot of options, but you know, you have to be an informed and thinking consumer.
Well, the book helps clearly with informed, and we actually have an email question relating to the statin. One of the people say, my doc said I shouldn't have grapefruit when I was having, and I was on Lipitor.
Right.
But we reached a compromise. I can have the grapefruit in the morning and the Lipitor at bedtime. Is that true with most drugs? You can just have the food at a different time. And I guess what they're really asking is, what's the mechanism of most of these interactions? Are they a food and a timing issue, or is there a more different interaction for each of them?
You know, for some of it, it's a timing issue. The issue with grapefruit, it's never really been about avoiding it altogether. And that's been something from drug companies for a safety and approval point of view, saying, well, are you going to tell people to limit grapefruit juice or limit their grapefruit intake? Everybody is different. You know, people supersize things and could drink a quart of grapefruit juice, saying, well, I'll just cut back a few ounces. Limiting means a half a grapefruit a day or maybe 6 ounces, a small juice glass a day. This compromise, you know, is certainly reasonable because the way that, you know, as you know, the body is a little chemistry set with a lot of chemical reactions that break down food and break down medications in the same pathway in your digestive tract. So grapefruit has a compound that interferes with the breakdown, the normal breakdown in the body of most of the statins, including Lipitor. So separating this by a period of 12 hours is certainly helpful because you're only having, again, a limited amount. And most of these things are limit or avoid. And if you're someone who can't limit it, that's a problem. If you certainly don't want to wash down your Lipitor with grapefruit juice, but this is a good compromise that this particular person has with their doctor because, again, they're monitored, their lipids are monitored, and it's a good compromise. For some people, and there are statins like Crestor that are an option that have no interaction with grapefruit. So again, if the instruction of a small juice glass or simply a half a grapefruit isn't for you, you might switch to that. And it's funny, it's not just grapefruits. What we found in our research, and just like you had said with the vitamin K and canola oil, we found that there are a couple other select fruits that have the same effect as grapefruit, but surprisingly, not most oranges or lemons, not all citrus fruits. Seville oranges, which most people get in marmalade form, Seville orange marmalade, and they're available only some times of year, have the same compound. And if you take a statin, you should avoid that, as well as pomelos, which are becoming increasingly popular. They look kind of like grapefruits, but they're really a cross between an orange and a grapefruit. So you've got to be careful about these things. So it's more than just scratching the surface. And many people are telling us, you know, physicians need this book because people say, how come my doctor doesn't tell me this? Because it's not easily available. There's a lot of online information that's incorrect. There's a lot of personal stories that people then start to think this may be true. And often the pharmacist doesn't have that information at his or her fingertips either. So that's why we wrote this book. That's why it's written in a way that is just very friendly and easy to find, you know, the basics.
Now, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the mechanism and why some of the, if you will, over-the-counter or integrative medicine or complementary medicine or herbal drugs also have some reactions, such as you list avoid when using SSRIs, St. John's wort, and tryptophan and 5-hydroxytryptophan, vitamin E and omega-3s, etc. We'll come right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're talking with Dr. Madeline Fernstrom, F-E-R-N-S-T-R-O-M, the book Don't Eat This If You're Taking That. We'll be right back.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Over 30 years ago, R.W. and Margaret Garcia set out to make the best-tasting, healthy tortilla chip in the world. They invested every dime they had and started selling chips to retailers out of their family van. Today, R.W. Garcia products are sold around the world. Their products use only the highest quality, premium ingredients, are verified non-GMO, certified gluten-free, and contain no additives or preservatives. Try their three-seed kale, sweet potato, or harvest crackers, or go for their crunchy, tasty mixed bags of blue, yellow, and red tortilla chips. And for sure, every family must have one of their big bags of blue or yellow corn tortilla chips for healthy snacking and parties. Without question, R.W. Garcia is changing the way people snack with their simple philosophy. Great tasting can be good for you. Go to rwgarcia.com to find out where their products are sold in your area. R.W. Garcia, the best tasting healthy tortilla chip in the world.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. If it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen. I usually, during football season in Cleveland, don't invite anyone from the University of Pittsburgh on because Pittsburgh does such a bad job with the Cleveland Browns every year. But this is an exception. Dr. Fernstrom, F-E-R-N-S-T-R-O-M, has written, "Don't Eat This If You're Taking That," and you probably say, she's at the University of Pittsburgh, I saw her on the Today Show. Well, that's right, she's one of the Today Show medical hosts, if you will, and she's written with her husband this wonderful book, "Don't Eat This If You're Taking That." I say it's wonderful because it does much more than just talk about drugs, food, interaction, that is, what things you shouldn't eat if you're taking this drug, but it also talks to you about what foods are high in that. For example, I didn't know, as I said in the first segment, that canola oil had a amount of vitamin K in it that was probably problematic for people taking Coumadin. And most importantly, because I haven't seen it anyplace else, is what supplements not to take with both drugs and also foods. So one of the things is it says there's in chapter, I think it's one of the early chapters on depression, it says when you're taking an SSRI, and Dr. Bernstrom will find out what an SSRI is from you. You should avoid St. John's wort, tryptophan, 5-hydroxytryptophan, vitamin E, omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil, ginkgo, Asian ginseng, bilberry, ginger, horse chestnut, and garlic. So talk to us about what an SSRI is and then why you should avoid these with one.
Okay, the major thing, you know, when you think about different prescription medications, and people like to take a lot of vitamins, which count as dietary supplements, but there's so many more. The issue is you think, well, what's the worst that'll happen? Dietary supplements. If I take it, the worst that'll happen is nothing. When it comes to things like St. John's wort that affect the brain or tryptophan, which is the building block of the neurotransmitter serotonin that's related to a lot of things in brain, including mood, or 5-hydroxytryptophan, these things in supplement form are concentrated and get to the brain and can act and mimic the effect of prescription antidepressants. Many people have heard about, well, don't take a prescription antidepressant, take St. John's wort. The problem with all dietary supplements is that they are regulated differently than over-the-counter medicines and prescription medicines. So you have to be very careful with the sources you take because sometimes there are contaminants or dosing issues that you're not aware of. But most importantly, these do have biological activity and can mimic act the same way as, for example, antidepressants on the brain. So SSRIs, people know if they're on them. These are things like Prozac or even SNRIs that are like Effexor. But people, these are very common compounds and they work for millions of people very well. So a combination of medication and behavioral change helps people moderate their depression and hopefully be symptom free. But you can't add a lot of dietary supplements to that because it'll be as if you're having too much stimulation to these brain cells. And when it comes to medications that affect your brain, too much is really not a good idea. So that's why you don't want to mix, especially St. John's wort, which acts like an antidepressant, or the amino acids. We go amino acids, the building blocks of protein, but they can build neurotransmitters in the brain. And if you've got too much or not enough and the balance is off, you're not going to be helping yourself with your depression management. Something else that you said, and I want to bring this up because the supplement form of foods, whether it's something like garlic and onions, you go, what could be wrong? It's great. Garlic does a lot. It's fantastic when you cook with it. When it is put in supplement form, it's concentrated, so the active ingredients are acting more like a drug in your body. Garlic and onion actually are very strong blood thinners in a concentrated form. Something like cinnamon, what could be bad with that? Now, sprinkling cinnamon on your cereal or using it otherwise is very different from a concentrated amount in a pill that can actually affect your blood sugar, for example. And so if you're taking a diabetes medicine to lower your blood sugar and you're taking a bunch of extra cinnamon supplements, you could lower your blood sugar too low and be dangerously low. And so you're not going to feel good from that. So when you take foods and put them in a pill form, it's not just translating into what you're going to be having as the food. It's highly concentrated and the active ingredient is concentrated. So you have to really be very careful.
Now, by the way, we got a question. We got a series of questions on the email line, and I apologize to people for not getting to them all. But one of the first ones was about a Seville orange and it having the same things in it as grapefruit. And they said, what's a Seville orange?
Yeah. A Seville orange, just like you have navel oranges or Valencia oranges, it's a type of orange. If you're in your supermarket, it will clearly state if it's a Seville orange. More commonly, people will have this as marmalade, like orange jelly, and it will say Seville orange marmalade. So that name will always be there, whether you're buying a fresh orange or you're buying it as marmalade. So avoid that and just read the label and pay attention to it because that's an important aspect. Good question.
Now, you also have a series of foods that might interact or maybe should be avoided when you're taking pain relief medications.
Right.
Go ahead and talk more about that.
One big thing with pain relief medications is alcohol. And we know some of the health benefits of things like red wine or a small amount of alcohol. But the issue is anything that will affect the brain, especially alcohol, because it will act as a sedative.
and is something that will sedate and have your brain signals be more reduced. You won't want that interaction with pain medication because these pathways overlap and you can have a risk of your pain medication acting sort of too well. That's something that you really want to avoid. That's probably one of the biggest things that you should not mix, mix together.
So one to avoid when taking pain medications, just to give people an idea of how comprehensive this is, it talks about vitamin E, fish oil, onion and garlic, American ginseng, bilberry, cocoa. I didn't know cocoa. Ginger, ginkgo, horse chestnut, and there are a series of others, and also some supplements.
Right.
I want to thank very much Dr. Fernstrom, Fernstrom. Don't eat this if you're taking that. Probably everyone should get this book. It's wonderful. Thanks very much. We'll be right back.